few days ago on Chaf Ches Tammuz, was the yahrzeit of the Yisbach Moshe. Today, one of the biggest chassidus is a Satmar, and the founder, and also other drachim, was the great Yisbach Moshe. In his beginnings, he was a misnagid. He was known as a very big Talmud Chacham before he was Neskarev to chassidus. And he found his way to the Chayza from Lublin. And there's a whole story about that, how he had kashas, chassidus, and he went to the Chayza. He traveled all the way there, and he said, if the Chayza will answer these questions, then maybe I'll have some respect. So he prepared two questions. One was, why are Chassidim always happy if it's Churban Beis HaMikdash? And the second was, why does the Gemara say, Habolatayim Messiah, say? A person who wants to come closer to Hashem to purify himself, they help him. I should say, he helps him, and Hashem helps him. There may have been a third question too. I didn't see it recently, the story. So he traveled all the way to the Chayza, and as soon as he walked into the room, the Chayza said to him, he said, I was just thinking about how, you know, with the chassidim, that, you know, that they're so besimcha, what's going to be with Churban Beis HaMikdash and Avelis on it. But, you know, like the Chavis HaLavava says, that a chassid has to show on the outside that he's besimcha, but in his heart he's margish, the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And how does a person come to that? So the Gemara says, Habal Atayim Messiah Nosai. So it doesn't say that Hashem will help. It says Messiah Nosai, that the Malachim will help him. So Hashem says, Malachim will bring a person to come close to him. So as soon as he heard that from the Chayza, that was never left the Chayza. Somebody once asked him, didn't you have so many kashas on Chassidus and the whole Derech Chassidim? So he said, Umaraltem, Pasuk in Devarim, Umaltem es Orlas Levavchem, Ve'arpechem, Ve'loisakshu Oid. He said that the Chayza did a meal on me, on my Orlas Halev, and my brazenness, and I don't have any more kashas. He prepared this. One of the questions he prepared for the Chayza was about Churban Beis HaMikdash and Avelis. It's interesting that he passed away during the 3 weeks. His whole life was about Churban Beis HaMikdash.
The Rebbe is saying that I forget who went to visit him, but he said he came to visit him by the Malka, and they asked him to speak. He said, I should take the place of Yirmiyahu.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The Tzaddikim said that he had the neshama of Yirmiyahu Navi. He always had his staff with him, his cane with him, because he was always ready to be on the move. In fact, it says that during the months of Nisan and Tishrei, which are Masuga L'Gula, the Gemara says, so at night he didn't put on his pajamas. He slept with his clothes on, and he always had his staff by his bed, that if Mashiach should come, he should be ready at any moment. Once his son-in-law, the Ari de Be'iloi, you know, after his second marriage, he was a son-in-law to the Yismach Maisha. And at first he was also a misnagid, and he was a scarf to the Chayza and the Chassidus. So once he was expecting the Ardebe Eli to come, and the Yisbach Maisha was waiting, and he made a comment like, you know, I'm waiting here already, Kol Adrachim Mecheska Sakana, it's not easy to travel. In the meantime, until my son-in-law gets here, I'm going to go to the mikvah. When he comes, come call me, and then I'll come upstairs. So he was in the mikvah, and they came down, the Gabi went, and he says, he's here. So he quickly ran out of the mikvah, and he put on his tzitzit, he's here. He says, the son-in-law says, yeah, his single-minded focus was about coming of Mashiach. He once commented at the end of his life, he says, Ilu yadati, had I known in my earlier years that I would reach such an old age and Mashiach hadn't come already, I wouldn't have been able to survive. I wouldn't be able to live like this because of the pain and the suffering that I've had to go through all these years. But because my bitachon is, my hope in Hashem is so strong, I'm able to be makayim myself. And he says he was always muchan and ready to give up his life for the geula at all times. And his ikar chiyus was this. He said, I don't have any other chiyus other than a chakal b'chol yom shava, that every single moment I wait for Mashiach's coming. He had said, the Yitav Lev said in the name of Yitzchak Moshe, who was his grandfather, that he used to say, the Yitzchak Moshe, that many tzaddikim said when they were in this world, that when they go up after 120 years to Shemayim in front of the Kisei Kavod, that they wouldn't be allowed to go to the Gan Eden until they were Tavei of Mashiach's coming, and they wouldn't let a Kadosh Baruch Hu have any rest until Mashiach was come. And so they haven't been successful because, look, we're still here. Every tzaddik has not been able to accomplish that. He says, but I guarantee you that I'm going to do it. I will be the one. I will not leave. I will not leave until Mashiach comes. So Rav Meir from Flamishlan, who lived after Yitzchak Moshe, he says, so no, what happened to Yitzchak Moshe? He's still in Golis. He says he was standing in the Kisei Kavod and he said he wouldn't move. He wouldn't budge. He says, I'm here and I'm here to stay until Mashiach comes. Until all of a sudden he started to hear David HaMelech playing for the kinor, started playing the harp. And he was so much bedvekis from the playing of the kinor of David HaMelech that he followed the niggun and he had no bechir after. It's a very deep maisa. The stories of the Yitzchak Moshe are fascinating. Fascinating. What a very amazing, interesting tzaddik. One story is better than the next. I have others. Svarim, which have also many stories, I didn't get to them. Fascinating, fascinating stories. He one of the inyonim which he had is that he used to write kameis, amulets. He used to write names of Hashem and on paper and parchment, and then put them in a little pouch and then give it to people. So these kameis that he would write. So the derech was, he had a whole seder in how he did it. My Rebbe once told me it was fascinating, the whole thing, how the whole seder of it. So one of the things is that he would sit on one end of the table and other people would sit on the other end, and he would write a kameya. And after he write the kameya, so the kameya would go by itself to the person who it belonged to. It would travel by itself to the person. And remember, this was it was a name of Hashem. It was a ruchnius creation. Had a life of its own. He once gave a kameya to a chassid who came, and the chassid was saying that I have a beautiful field, a lot of property, and everything is ready to grow and to go, but it's a drought, and I don't have a spring near my field, and everything is going to die. I'm not going to have anything to eat. So Yitzchak Moshe said, don't worry. So he wrote him a kameya, and gave him the kameya, and he says, when you get back home, just put this in the place in the field where you want it to go, and then the spring will grow in the field. Chassid was overjoyed. He took the kameya, traveled back home. He was very excited. It was very dark. It was very dark. And so he said, I'm going to wait till the morning to put the kameya in the field. So he went to sleep. It's not like today where you could, there's lights and you could turn things on. And mamash pitch dark. You know? So he went in and he put the kameya down and he went to sleep. He woke up 3 hours later and the whole house was flooded with water. He told him, the first place that you put it down, that's where the spring is going to be. So now he had a spring in his living room or wherever it was in his bedroom. So...
Did he move?
I don't know. No, we don't. In fact, the Rav Shitzer, when he heard about the Yitzchak Moshe, that he was writing kameyas, so he sat down to write a very sharp letter. We don't do kameyas anymore. They already talked about it, but this door we don't do kameyas. So he sat down to write, and as soon as he sat down to write, so. In the way that, I don't know exactly the Seder, how they used to make the dio, the ink, but what happened was is that he was about to write, and then instead of the dio, the ink going on the, something spilled on the paper, and he says, oh, I have to write a much stronger letter than the first one. Like, the second one, and then a third time, and finally he got it down right, and then all of a sudden, like, these bugs started growing out of the ink, and they were flooding the house, and so then he ripped up the paper or something, and then everything went away, and he said, it was Neskaltim and Shemayim that normally we don't do that, but this is a neshama which came down to the world. He has special rishos to do that, and he's here for that. And he left him alone. He understood that you can't mess with the Yitzchak Moshe. As a youngster, he was a goyin olam. They said about him when he was very young, he knew 800 block Gemara. Gemara Rashi Tosos by heart. he didn't write just only the Yismach Moshe. He deals a lot with Medrash Pliyos and very interesting in Yonah, very deep, fascinating Torahs, weaving together Nigla and Nista, but he also writes Shalos and Tshuvas. And the Tzadikim were mispoiled of his Shalos and Tshuvas. They're called Vayashav Moshe. Beautiful, beautiful Tshuvas. Mamash Agoyin Oilam and Nigla and Nista. And his Tzidkas, Mitzape, for Yeshua Hashem, constantly, constantly. He was B'yedidus with the Chassav Sefer. They lived nearby in Hungary. And they corresponded with each other in tshuvas. And the tzaddikim said that the Yismach Moshe used to darshan a lot about the Rambam. And the Chassam Sefer famously would talk a lot about the Ramban. He gave a shir every day in Ramban. So they used to say that the Yismach Moshe was a Gilgal, was a nitzah to the Rambam, and the Chassam Sefer was a nitzah to the Ramban. That was the talk about them. As we said before, he was mitzapa Yeshua. He was always yearning for the Geula. So he had once came across in Tana Devei Eliyahu that it says that Eliyahu HaNavi, even today that there's no Beis HaMikdash, he still makriv tamid, and he still brings the Korban Tamid every single day. Parenthetically, that's why the Parshas HaTamid is in Parshas Pinchas, because Pinchas is Eliyahu. And since Eliyahu continues to breathe the Tamidim every single day, even if there's no Beis HaMikdash, that's why it's in Parshas Pinchas. I'll upon him. So he made a request min Hashemayim that he should be able to see that he should see Eliyahu bringing the Korban Tamid, and it was granted to him. And he said, "I saw Eliyahu Navi bring the Korban Tamid. I was able to see that." When he used to do Kriya Shema, it was mamash a spectacle. When he used to do Kriya Shema, he used to daven in a private room. That was by some rabbis that they have an Indian like that. So he used to daven in a private room. Once the Klaus Magreva told over that his grandson, the Yitziv Leiv, he wanted to see, you know, to peek into this room and to see how his grandfather davened. So he did that. He put a chair and he got up and he peeked inside the room, and he says that he fell off the chair. And he was knocked out. He fell off the chair. He said that I saw that the Zayda was holding by Hashem Echad. He was saying the Chesed Echad. And it was such an intensity and with such a mysterious nefesh that he was like blown off the chair. But he still wasn't done. He got back on the chair a few minutes later, and he said the Zaydi was up to the letter Dalet of Echad. He was still saying Kriyashma a few minutes later. Siddiqim said that when he said Kriyashma, it was behispashtas mamish. He was on the floor. He would say Shema Yisrael Echad, and he would fall to the floor. He had no koiches at all. He was literally like laying on the floor with like spread out. He had no chias pashup. When he said Hashem Echad, it meant there's nothing other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's how we said Hashem Yisrael Hashem Echad. So, in his town, there was a paritz, like in every town, and he was very upset with the Yismach Moshe about something. So he said that, I'm coming after you. He sent him a warning, like, you know, you're next. And in those days, and especially in that town, if the paritz could do whatever he wanted, it was serious business. So Yismach Moshe, when he heard that, so he wasn't fazed. And he had bitachon in Hashem, and he was sitting and he told the following maisa. He said that Reb Chaim HaKohen Rappaport, who lived in the times of the Baal Shem Tov, although he wasn't a chassid, but he was a very big tzaddik. So he said that there was once a paritz who also sent him like a death threat. When he heard this, he told his rebbetzin. He says, listen, the paritz is making a threat. So what are we supposed to do? We have to waste the night on this. So he said that he went into the corner, took a Tehillim, and she took a Tehillim in the other corner, and they stayed up all night saying Tehillim. And then there was a nace which happened, and the Paris was killed, whatever. So he says, we have to waste a night on that. So the Yismach Moshe said, he said, to say Tehillim all night and to daven, he says, I'm very busy, I have a lot of learning I need to do, and I give a lot of shiurim. I don't have time to say Tehillim. And for my Rebbetzin to say Tehillim, she's already older and she's weak. He says, Hashem will help me without it. So the next day that this paritz was getting his weapons ready, he was going to get his weapons for the Yismach Moshe, and something happened that he stepped on the gun and the bullet went shooting right into his head and he killed himself. I don't have time to say Tehillim all night, waste my time on this. My Rebbetzin is too old to do it. So, no, maybe she'll help him.
Is that a greater medrager or a lower medrager?
It's a bigger medrager, yeah. regarding these kameyas. So I was told over that there was a chassid, there was a yid who came to the Yismach Moshe, and he was complaining that he had rodents which were breaking into his granary, into his storage house. And he asked the Yismach Moshe for kameya. So he gave him one. He took the kameya and he put it in the storage house. And the one who told it over, his name was Reb Tuvia. He was 9 years old at the time. He says he'll never forget this. They went into the storage house to see what would happen afterwards. He says he put the kameya down in that place, and then the rodents they came in to start to eat, and there was a huge rodent which came, and he was like the boss, you know. He came in and he ate the kameya, and he says after he ate the kameya, all of the achbarim came and they tore him to pieces.
What?
They destroyed him. The other rodents came and they said, you have many to say, you have such an azus that you should eat the kmei of the Yismach Moshe. He says that they tore him to shreds. The big boss gangster rodent, they destroyed him, and then they all went flying. They all ran away because they were all scared of the kmei of the Yismach Moshe and didn't have any problems after that. But they were like soldiers, like they, you know, messing with the Yismach Moshe's kmei, they took him out. He had a gabbai who was very chaviv to him, very beloved to him, and he went on a trip, and he took a different gabbai for the trip. And he asked that his Gabbai Chaviv, his beloved Gabbai, should sleep in the house and protect the house while he was gone. And he told the Gabbai, because he loved him so much, you can sleep in my bed. You know, I'll allow you to sleep in my bed. So the Gabbai did that. He slept in the bed the first night. And he had a dream in that bed. Mamash, he had such Giluye Torah. Unbelievable what he experienced. It was never anything like that before. So he woke up in the middle of the night. It must have been like 2 o'clock in the morning. And he had an inyan. He had a certain minhag, this chassid, and many tzaddikim had this, that whenever they would wake up in the night, they wouldn't go back to sleep. That was their sleep. Whether they slept 2 hours, 5 hours, 10 hours, 1 hour, half an hour, if they went to sleep and they woke up, they were up for the night. So here he went to sleep and he woke up, and he didn't know what to do. He said, on the one hand, he has a minhag, he stays up, but if he goes back to bed, he'll have another. You know, who knows what type of other dream he's going to have? So he didn't know exactly what to do. One thing was for sure, he didn't want, if he was going to go back to sleep, to forget the first dream because he was going to have a second dream. So he wrote down the first dream on a paper and he said, no, I'll forgo my minhag. And he went back to sleep in that bed and he was, you know, waiting for another big, big gilui. So he went back to sleep. He woke up, mamish, nothing. Garnish. He didn't have anything. No dreams, no giluyim. And then when he sat down at the table to chazer the dream which he had the first time, so he knocked over like a something that was on and it spilled on the paper and the whole thing was gone. So when the Yismach Moshe came back, he gave his hand to the Gabbai, and he says, if you have a minhag toiv, you don't give it up even for big chidush in the Torah. There was a chassid that the Yismach Moshe once needed a lot of money for a certain mitzvah, and there was a Jew who he had the money and he told the Yismach Moshe, I'll give it to you if you give me a haftacha, I have Gan Eden. Promise me Gan Eden. So he agreed, the Yismach Moshe, and he gave him the guarantee. He said, only do it though if you write it on the paper. Okay, he's masking, he wrote it on the paper. And on the paper it said, Pnu derech l'ploni b'ploni v'chasim. He says, pave the way for this person. He wrote his name, and he took it to the grave with him. Put it in his pocket, and he went to the grave.
I don't know how to do that.
What?
You can't bring anything.
These things you can bring. Yeah. Says, make way for this person. And so the night after he passed away, so he came to the Yismach Moshe, and he says, it was gewaltig. They took me straight in. Everything is great. Only problem is they took me to the Beis Medrash and they said, no, say some Torahs. It's not have anything to say. So he says, you don't have anything to say? You didn't learn any Gemara? You don't learn any Mishnah? He says, no, I don't know anything. did you learn anything? He said, I learned the Sefer Shevet Musar, which is like an old Sefer on Musar. I learned it in Yiddish. So he said, okay, so no, say it. So he said it, and it was a big hit. But he said, you know, he paved the way, and he had a problem afterwards. But Yisach Moshe, you know, told him, if you have anything to say, just say, you'll be okay. One of the fascinating things about the Yisach Moshe is that he remembered all of his Gilgulim. His previous lifetimes, he remembered. He used to say that, I remember when I left Mitzrayim. When I was in Mitzrayim, how I used to work with the Chomer v'Levanim, with the bricks, and all the hard work which I had to do in Mitzrayim. He said that it's still etched in my memory that the kitchen, which it looked like in my house, which I lived in Mitzrayim. I even remember the oppressor, the one who would beat me. He says, and if I saw his face on the street, I would remember him. I remember what he looked like. He used to say, I remember the journey to Matan Torah and what that was like. And it's well known that he remembered himself as a sheep in the flock of Yaakov Avinu. He used to point to his arm and says, I still have the marks when Yaakov hit me when I was running away as a sheep. Shepsala, I still have the mark. And he used to show the mark that he had when he was a sheep. His grandson, Yitzhak Lev, once asked him, Do you remember the machlekes of Korach against Moshe? He says, I remember it like yesterday. How could I forget it? So he said that there was three groups. There was one group which was for Moshe, the other group which was for Korach, and there was one who was on the fence, didn't know exactly what. So he said, Zayda, so whose side were you on? He says, I was from the camp which was on the fence. I didn't know. And he said he was astonished. And he says, how? I mean, there was a Shiloh that, you know, Moshe. He had a Shiloh and Moshe. So he said to him, he says, these things, my son, they're much higher than you can understand. And I can't reveal to you. That Pasha can't reveal to you this whole Inyan. And the Klozer Meger Rebbe, who was a great Einikel of the, told over this story. And he says, you should know that he told everything to his grandson, the Yitav Leif. He said, but this Inyan, he was a Baal Ruach HaKadosh himself, the Yitav Leif, and a big guy. He says, but on this he didn't say. He wouldn't tell him. One thing about which I did hear in a different Nesach is that he told him that if you would have seen the greatness of Korach, then you also would have been on the fence. It was not clear. It was not clear, this whole thing between Korach and Moshe, this showdown, which was the MS. And he said, but because of this, Yisrach Moshe says, because I was on the fence and I didn't side with Moshe, I was punished that for all my future generations, my children and my grandchildren, they would never be free of a machlekes. We would always have people arguing against us. Because I didn't stand up in the machlekes to defend Moshe, it was nigzer on me that I will always have machlekes against me and my children and my great-grandchildren forever and ever. And the Yitav Leif said, because of that, and the grandson said, because of that, even if I seclude myself from all the people and I go into the forest, the trees will make a machlekes against me. That's how much that this Kabbalah was true. Yeah. Yeah. He used to say, one time when he was saying, Hayshana Laman Chalakeinu, Shana Laman Chalakeinu, Hashem, save us on your behalf. He said, Ribbono Shel Olam, he says, if you think that I'm machaven, that my intention is for myself, that I want Geula, he says, I say, do it for yourself, even if I don't get to see it. Even if I will never get to see your Geula. And I don't have any attachment to it whatsoever. All I want is that your name should be Niskadesh in the Welt. And maybe you'll say, maybe just in this world, but in the next world, that's what I want. So Ribbono Shel Olam, Kabbalah for myself. You should, even if you send me to the Sheol Tachtis, so the lowest places in Gehenna, and I don't see any light ever, forever and ever, and I won't have any takana ever, so I'm Kabbalah upon myself, so that you should, your name should be Niskadesh. Was the coming of Mashiach again. That's what he used to say.